Will the House please come to order? Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the roll.
34 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representatives Adams, Martin, Ewing, Furness, Winty, Gall, and Sund are excused from the call of the House today. I note the presence on the House floor of Representative Ewing and Furness.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Reverend Milton S. Hunt, Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Let us pray. O Lord God, renew the energy of these assembled legislators and sharpen their focus for the task at hand. On this Friday, we think back and see part of this week's accomplishments as brilliant, but perhaps see a few matters as being somewhat ragged. Lift up our eyes, O Lord, to the high ideals of good government for the many. Revive us all for an extra push at the end of this week. Come and commune with us that we may be strong with vigor. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is willing to be with Zacchaeus, a man small in stature, who grew to be a giant in generosity. Be with us, O Lord, and be our brother a long life's way. Amen.
Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 130th legislative day and House Supplement number 144.
There is a correction to the journal for the 130th day to page 3901 under the joint session. I did duplicate this correction, and it's been placed on each member's desk. With this correction, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 130th day and House Supplement number 144.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 130th legislative day, as corrected in Journal Supplement number 144, be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? Messages from the Governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate appointed the following members to the Senate Subcommittee to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics: Senator Mulcahy, Senator Bennett, and Senator Ziegler. The House members have already been selected. The Senate has approved the following citations, and they have been sent to Legislative Affairs for enrolling: In Memoriam, Dr. E.S. Rabot; In Memoriam, George A. Parks; and Honoring the Bristol Bay Native Convention. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution number 46 by the Resources Committee, suspending Uniform Rules 24C and 41B of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill number 411.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 46 is referred to the Rules Committee.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 303, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the practice of social work and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, and Social Services and Finance Committees.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 417, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act establishing the Kenai River Special Management Area and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance Committees.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 448, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to periods of open recruitment for positions in the classified service and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 503, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to hazardous waste and certain public contracts concerning hazardous waste, changing penalties for environmental pollution violations, and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson. Will the House please stand at ease? Clerk, have other communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Christina Knapp by Representative Schultz. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 720, amended by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to minimum electrical standards. This was held from yesterday, Mr. Speaker. I have no amendments on my desk.
I have a letter from Billy Barrier regarding the amendment that was approved yesterday by the House relating to House Bill 720, and in his opinion, it is not an effective date. He says it's his opinion that it's a transitional clause and not an effective date clause, and I have a copy of that on my desk if anyone would like to read it. So it would appear that House Bill 720 amended is now before us in the proper form for either further amendment or for final passage. Does the clerk have additional amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the House Bill 720 amended be considered in gross advance and third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Bill 720 amended by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to minimum electrical standards.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 720 amended pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
34 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 720 amended has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 721 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 721 under consideration and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred by Liska, Hayes, Barnes, and Bussell. Having no recommendation, Malone and Clarkson. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Will the clerk please read the First Amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Clarkson. Page 1, line 23. Delete section 2.
Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, section 2, of course, is a repealer. I don't have a particular argument with section 1 of this bill. I think that there's the authority exists now to conduct those audits if people want it. So I'm not concerned about that. Section 2 of the bill goes much further, Mr. Speaker, and repeals all the confidentiality sections of the law that apply to CFAP. Those are sections 260 and 280. Mr. Speaker, those members of this body that have been here more than a couple of years may recall the fight we had with regard to this issue. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago. There was a dispute with regard to how independent of state government CFAB ought to be. It contended that the information that it obtained from borrowers should be completely confidential, and the legislature in return felt that some of that information ought to be available to the public and to the legislature and to auditors, of course, so that they could review the activities of that body. Mr. Speaker, the audit that you have before you that's been distributed by the chair of the Judiciary Committee is a pretty good explanation of why we felt that some of that information should be made public or made available to auditors. There were some pretty outrageous activities going on by CFAB. However, Mr. Speaker, as a result of that dispute, sections 260 and 280 were adopted. They apply that certain information shall be held in confidence and certain information shall be made available to legislative budget and audit and so forth. It was a compromise entered into at that time between two competing views, one that a financial institution ought to have confidential information, and two, that any agency of state government ought to have open information. The issue, of course, is that when a private business that's an agriculture or fishing-related business applies to CFAB for money, it's required as a part of that process to reveal a great deal of information about its operations. And there is a good reason why that information should not be made public. And that's what sections 260 and 280 assure, that information, not all of it, that confidential economic information will not be provided to competitors. That makes a lot of sense to me. It seems that sections 260 and 280 were a fair compromise at the time. We're now proposing to repeal those sections. I'd note, Mr. Speaker, that this bill was filed on about the 129th day of this, 128th day of this legislative session. It had approximately 10 minutes of discussion in the Judiciary Committee. No witnesses testified. No witnesses were called by the chair. We have no idea with regard to the impact of this on CFAB. We have no idea with regard to the attitudes with regard to auditors and whether the legislation is necessary. We were provided some information from the chair, which could just as easily have been provided in the first person by the people affected by the legislation, but it wasn't. I think we're acting rather hastily in repealing confidentiality provisions that are going to require that if a private business wants to borrow money from CFAB, they're going to have to open up all the aspects of their business to public view, and I'm a bit concerned about that. Therefore, I encourage the adoption of the amendment.
Representative Bussell.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'll try not to take as much time as the former speaker did to explain nothing to you. The audit that is on every member's desk is the only audit that was ever performed by the Legislative Budget and Audit, and it's dated May 22, 1981, and it does indeed bring to light some, as the former speaker said, outrageous actions on the part of those involved with CFAB. Mr. Speaker, perhaps the chairman of Legislative Budget and Audit could more eloquently explain how Legislative Budget and Audit works than I can. But Legislative Budget and Audit practices do not allow it to do what the former speaker said they can do. They can, in fact, after performing an audit, not release confidential information. And perhaps one of the best examples I can give to the body would be if the Legislative Budget and Audit were called, let's say, to investigate Family and Youth Services and finds a lot of things wrong with the way Family and Youth Services operates. It cannot and does not, other than in executive session and then only under questioning, reveal the names of the people involved, nor the names of the recipients of any of the services of Family and Youth Services. It has to couch the language in describing those errors that it wants to bring to light such that it does not and cannot reveal those to the public. The 1981 audit before you is an audit of CFAB. It does talk about its loan activity, and it's couched in exactly the same terms that an audit would have to be couched if it were brought with Section 2 in the bill. They simply cannot, would not do that. As he well knows, there's a body of law that supports that reasoning, as well as admonitions in Section 24 of the statute, or Title 24 of the statutes, which tell how Legislative Budget and Audit can and cannot act. Mr. Speaker, I think both 4481-260 and 4481-280 do need to be repealed, and I think it makes just good sense to allow the auditor the right to go over and audit an organization of the state or a cooperative of the state that's excused from all banking laws of the state. This co-op, this bank operated by the state, is not subject to any of the banking laws in this state. They can tell them just simply to kiss off if somebody comes and asks them. We do have in excess, as you know, of $30 million of state funds invested in this organization. The two named groups of recipients that are dealt with by what I term to call the Sod and Cod Bank are organizations or industries in this state that are dealt with by a number of other loan programs totally managed by the legislature. And I think because the legislature deals with these other things on almost a daily basis in some committee, that we need this information in order to adequately address other legislation that deals with fishing and agriculture. I would urge the body to defeat the amendment and vote for the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, rather than stand up here and say, yes, it is, no, it isn't, yes, it is, I'm sure there's a number of members of this body that make their judgments on amendments like this based on who's against them and who's opposed to them. Let me suggest, however, that you make your judgment on this amendment based on the language that you're proposing to repeal. And let me quote that language for you. Except as provided in B, which is the sections talking about legislative audit, The directors, officers, and the employees of the bank shall hold in strict confidence all information regarding the business records of the bank, including information as to the character, credit standing, and property of members and applicants for loans. That's a protection in the law now for information relating to the character, credit standing, and property of applicants for loans. This bill repeals that protection. You decide for yourself. Don't listen to the prior speaker or myself. You decide for yourself whether it's good public policy to require that those businesses make that public information. Let me quote you the other section that's being repealed. You talk about the powers of legislative audit. Section 4481-280, also being repealed, says, and this is the entire section, the legislative auditor and his employees may not disclose information acquired by them in the course of an audit of the bank concerning the particulars of the business or affairs of a borrower of the bank or another person unless the information is required to be disclosed by law or under a court order. That's a specific prohibition on the release by the auditor of confidential economic information regarding a private business. Now, you tell me what it means to repeal that section. Now, it seems to me anybody that's using common sense says that if we repeal a section that says the auditor has to keep this confidential, that the auditor doesn't have to keep it confidential. Make the judgment yourself based on the language of the statute, which is being repealed by this bill. It's bad public policy to make private, intimate economic information of a private business a public record. If you repeal Section 280, I think that information is going to be public, regardless of what the Judiciary Chair says. Just read the language before you decide whether this amendment ought to be adopted.
Representative Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to speak in opposition to the amendment. First, I'd like to draw to everybody's attention, in order to get a loan, you have to become a member of this co-op, which is fashioned after some lower 48 co-ops. I, last year, prepared some legislation, drafted, and didn't put it in because this matter was supposed to be resolved, and apparently the governor or the administration has signed off on it. Some $30 million was given to these people at Seattle First National, or to this organization. It's an out-of-state firm, out-of-state bank. It's not housed here in Anchorage or in Alaska whatsoever. This amount of money, the $30 million, the repayment program, as we all know, for those that were here previously, yourself included, Mr. Speaker, you have prepared legislation to set up a program for repayment. If you notice the July 17, 1981 letter, it states in there, the committee also requested that CFAB indicate how it intends to approach a repayment of state funds provided for CFAB's capitalization. I think that this is the crucial part of it. We seem to have a lot of talk right now from the member from downtown Anchorage about protections of the members. Only the members can. You have to be a member in order to borrow money from this. You have to be a member. Nobody in this room is a member. And you have to be, in order to qualify for it, you have to be a member of the co-op. The $30 million, I myself think that a reasonable interest rate for repayment on that would be what in this day and age? This was owed 2 years ago, and there had to be a mechanism to repay that. And 2 years ago, people know what in this room what the interest rate was going to be. Now, I think that what we have here is, I think we have a situation, Mr. Speaker, where if anybody in this room can tell me what that interest rate and those terms of repayment are going to be, I think that you're going to be very surprised. Because my understanding is that it's 17 years repayment at no interest. Now, if anybody wants to dispute that, I'd be glad to talk about it. I'd like to be corrected on it because I find it astonishing. But that is money that belongs to the citizens of the state of Alaska, and we need to get a handle on this, and this is a mechanism for doing it. The loan programs that are, you know, the audit itself, you know, you go through and you pick out the big fancy oak desk and the trips to Paris and things like that. And yes, I think there was some problems with CFAB. You know, and I hope that they're being cleaned up. But really, we have no idea whatsoever whether they are or not. Nobody in this room knows. They come up and throw a little party, one here and one up in Palmer, and that's it. But nobody knows exactly what's going on. How many fishermen do we know that don't have loans in this state? How many farmers do we know that are fighting and down here right now saying the program doesn't work, we need loans? Foresters, fox farmers, whatever it may be. This
is a firm that is based in Seattle. It's a bank that's operated out of Seattle. And if anybody has a great deal of knowledge about how that $30 million is going to be paid back and what an appropriate rate of interest is, then I'd be glad for them to explain it to me.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There is a member of the CFAB Bank. I happen to be one of them. And the rate of interest is fluctuating, but I believe the rate of interest that you pay on a loan is prime. I have a very small loan with them. I think the total loan initially was less than $4,000, but I think the interest I'm going to pay over 4 years is somewhere in the neighborhood of over $1,000. But
point of information, point of clarification. I'm in for
Representative Ward. That is not a reason to stand up and interrupt the previous speaker. If you have a point of order, please state it. Otherwise,
I'm not sure if it's a point. I want to know how much the
Representative
was paying the
Representative. Ward, Representative Davis has the floor, and you're out of order. You have the floor, Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to support this amendment because they do require detailed financial reports, income tax returns, and I mean, I have so little money in that I would withdraw it all if I have to declare everything that's in there and have that all as public record. So I'm in support of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. These are all noble words being spoken on this floor today, but it's too bad they're about 2 years late. The Fisherman and Agricultural Bank that was established by this legislature and given $32 million to establish a banking operation to finance fishing loans particularly was cut loose by this legislature 2 years ago into a completely private organization. We gave our money away. Along the lines Representative Ward talked about, they have no repayment responsibilities until the 17th year. There is no interest required as payments on that loan. And if there is any money there in 17 years to pay the state back, we will get principal only. This legislation, I admire the Judiciary Chairman for bringing it forth, but they have no obligation to allow the state auditors into that organization to audit them anymore because this legislature said they don't have to. They don't comply to state banking laws, they don't fall under federal banking laws, and they no longer fall under state laws. Right now, over 40% of the loans made by that organization are what any bank organization under regular banking laws would have to write them off. So within 2 years, if they've thrown away 40% of the money, you don't have to worry about getting back the rest of it in 17 years. I think we ought to go on to something that we can get that's worthwhile.
Representative Lindar?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. If there's someone here who is more familiar with this bank than I am, could they answer the following question for me? Is there something in statute, or is there some form of contractual agreement such that this bank is exclusively loaning to the residents of Alaska, or do I understand correctly that they in fact have an office in Seattle, that they in fact are lending money to people who are not domiciled in Alaska with either spurious or real connections to Alaska or our economy? And the reason I ask that, Mr. Speaker, because is that the answer will, in I think a large degree, determine how I vote on this amendment. If, in fact, this is primarily Alaskans, then I'm not so sure that I want to have that knowledge of each loan out in the open. But if, in fact, there are any loans whatsoever going to people outside, and if, in fact, they have the freedom to move or operate outside, then I think that we must look at these individuals, even though normally you'd not. We must look at them to make sure that this bank, in fact, is serving Alaska and Alaskans. The only way we can do that is to look at the details of the individual loans. And so if there's somebody here who knows enough about the technical details, could they explain that to me?
Representative Bussell?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The former speaker is right. The bank was formed to loan money to Alaskans for those Alaskan industry or commercial endeavors outlined in the original intent when they allowed this bank and the state loan the money to them. The only agreement, and that is in fact so, and the only way you'll ever find out how many people who are not Alaskans that now have loans will be that if you repeal these sections and allow somebody like Legislative Budget and Audit to take a look at it and be able to tell the legislature that So many of these loans are, in fact, loaned to residents of Washington or Oregon or California, or their principal place of domicile is somewhere other than Alaska. There's no control over that right now at all. And as for the repayment of the monies, your question about that, there is supposed to be in existence an agreement between this bank and the Commissioner of Revenue as to when and how the state will, in fact, buy back the money, or buy back the, or the bank will purchase the amount of Class B stock that the state does own in the bank. That agreement, I don't have that agreement. I've asked for the agreement. Doesn't seem to exist where a legislator can look at it anyway. Hopefully, if we could repeal these sections and the legislative budget audit could then ask these questions, record these answers, and at least make them available to the people that belong to the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, maybe the legislature could make better judgments over what to do with this bank in the future. And Mr. Speaker, not to rebut the chairman of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, but this legislation is necessary. The legislature does have to know more about this bank. Maybe it wants to give them some more money. Maybe it wants to shut down some of the present fisheries loan programs and give the money to CFAB because it's doing a better job. I don't know. I have no idea what they're doing. Maybe the legislature wants to undo what it did in 1979 and run the bank out of existence, or in fact make it a private bank. I don't know. Until we can have an audit of the bank at least more than 1 year and find out what the bank is doing, there's nobody in this legislature can properly make that decision. For that reason, if for no other reason, Mr. Speaker, these two sections need to be repealed, and we need to defeat this amendment. While I'm up, Mr. Speaker, one more, or I have a constituent, for instance, and I've developed a rather thick file on him, and I'm sure other members in here have constituents who have dealings with CFAB. This particular constituent of mine is a resident of Anchorage. He applied under the new boat loan program to build a boat. He's a Bristol Bay fisherman, lives in Anchorage. And because he had friends at CFAB, and he'll stipulate this, because he had friends in CFAB and was able to arrange his interim financing, even though the people in the present loan program told him they would take his interim loan through CFAB out once his boat was completed and buy it, that's not in fact what happened. Once we got along in the program a little bit, the present fisherman's loan program decided to leave him in CFAB. As a result, Mr. Speaker, because he's an Anchorage resident, I might add a good Republican, although I don't want to suggest that had anything to do with it, he has to stay in CFAB and pay 14% for his boat. The Fisherman's Loan Program have denied him access to that loan program, saying if he has collateral enough to get a loan from CFAB, he doesn't qualify to get a loan. However, the boat being built in Bellingham, Washington, right next to his, belongs to a property owner who owns much more property than my constituent from Dillingham, Alaska, who happens to be a good Democrat, and he has a loan through the state boat loan program. It's this kind of activity that continues to happen, and I can bring to this floor more people like that, and they'll remain nameless unless somebody wants their names, and you can see their files. This kind of activity is going on because nobody can go in and ask questions. There are being Alaskans disenfranchised because of this veil that hangs around this bank. And for the information of those who don't know, CFAB is not subject to any of the banking laws in the state of Alaska. It is specifically exempt from the law. Our banking laws don't govern at all. It is a co-op. It is an Alaskan corporation, however, it's a co-op. Every other corporation in this state has their articles of incorporation on file over at the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. This one doesn't have any articles over there. In order to get these articles, you almost got to commit an illegal act. I've got a copy of their articles here for those that want to read them. It's a shame that this kind of a thing can happen, and this legislature has no access to what's going on behind those closed doors at the Sod and Cod Bank. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, at least the last three, maybe four speakers have talked about everything except the amendment that my colleague placed before it. The one member talks about the fact you have to be a member to get a loan. Again, this really doesn't have anything to do with the amendment, Mr. Speaker. It sounds so sinister that I thought I at least ought to clear that up. If you get a loan, you become a member.
That's the way a co-op works. In other words, it's not a closed shop. Anybody that's eligible to get a loan is eligible to become a member, and you can't be shut out if you're eligible to get a loan. The CFAB is associated with a national association, it started out as Farm Loan Banks. They've since expanded into the fisheries area. Incidentally, I think they're also mistaken. I don't believe it's Seattle. I believe it's Spokane. And Mr. Speaker, the reason that we loaned those dollars to CFAB was in order to access many more tens of millions of dollars that the Federal Farm Loan Association, and they have associations of co-ops all across the nation. A lot of this is from memory when I was on resources 4 years ago, Mr. Speaker, and I've forgotten a lot of it. But I remember distinctly that by investing the number of dollars we did invest, we are accessing for Alaskans, repeat, for Alaskans, many, many, many more dollars to come into the program through leveraging. And whether or not we are paying interest on those dollars is immaterial, because we are getting many more dollars through the leveraging process back into the state of Alaska than we are putting out in the form of that one loan. Mr. Speaker, I don't know why people can't seem to get answers to some of their questions, because any time I've ever asked any of the members of CFAB any questions that I have had about the operation, I've gotten very ready and satisfactory answers. And I think that a hearing before a committee in which CFAB was told in advance the questions that were going to be asked, and give them a hearing before any committee, judiciary, or any other for that matter, I think virtually all of the questions that people raise on this floor could be raised in that forum, and I believe you'd get the answers, or if the answers weren't forthcoming, I think you'd get a satisfactory answer why they're not available. But Mr. Speaker, again, I want to go back to the basic point that I started with here, and that is all of the discussion about the worthwhileness of the program is not the issue. The issue, as raised by my colleague to the left over here from Anchorage, from downtown Anchorage, is whether we're going to destroy the confidentiality of loans by Alaskans. If you want everything, including possibly derogatory reports on applications that have been turned down by the bank, to be public information, then go ahead and vote for this bill, or vote for this bill unamended. If you think that some things in a person's life should be confidential when that a person applies for a loan, even if it's backed up with some public monies, then I think the amendment proposed by the representative from downtown Anchorage makes all the sense in the world. He read for you, and I'd like to repeat, if I could, Mr. Speaker, what we are repealing if we will repeal if we don't adopt his amendment. Except to provide it in B, and this is a number of exceptions, which incidentally represented a compromise some years back, the directors, officers, and employees of the bank shall hold in strict confidence all information regarding the business records of the bank, including information as to the character. And remember, as I said before, this is not only the people who are getting loans, but this is the people who have been turned down for loans. The character, credit standing, property of members and applicants for loans. They shall not exhibit or quote from the bank's business records, including documents regarding personnel of the bank. If you read this in the flop side of that is, if we repeal this legislation, we can easily read it, they can exhibit or quote from the bank's business records, including documents regarding personnel of the bank or pertaining to members or applicants for loans. Mr. Speaker, these are the minimum confidentiality requirements that were adopted on this floor some years back. And I think it would just be a tragedy to abandon those. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Follow up on the comments of Representative Miller. I'd like to keep the debate on the amendment, which is delete Section 2. Representative Tischer?
I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. I had a question of the previous speaker.
On Amendment number 2?
I believe that's what he was speaking on.
At the end of his debate he was speaking on Amendment Number 2.
Well, this would be germane then, I believe. What if an employee of the bank embezzled funds and later on we needed to find out how much was embezzled and where that person was? If there's no record of that individual available to an auditor, how would we find out if that was embezzled or not? I mean, that type of thing does occur, and it would worry me that state funds could be absconded and just run away with without anybody knowing.
Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, I can answer that question if you'll give me the liberty to
somewhat
tie this together, and I will get back to it. It's Amendment Number 1. You keep calling it Amendment Number 2, but
Yeah, you're correct. It's Amendment Number 1 to delete Section 2.
This is in response to the prior speaker and also to the Chair of Budget and Audit. I have a great deal of respect for him. I sat next to him during the couple of days that this issue was debated on the floor 3 or 4 years ago. But he made two statements that I think are incorrect. One is that there's a zero interest rate. We've had two other people stand up here and say that, in fact, one of them said it's fluctuating and it's based on prime. The other stood up and said it was 14%. So I think the statement that the zero interest rate is not quite accurate. The other statement you made is that legislative audit cannot get access to these records, cannot get audits. And Mr. Speaker, I respectfully refer the body to Section 1 of this legislation, which is a very specific authorization for legislative audit to get this information. And I now get back to the Chair of the Hess Committee. That's the answer to your question. The information that you would seek under that hypothetical is clearly available to legislative audit under Section 1 of the legislation, the part that we're not changing. So legislative audit clearly has that authority now. I don't understand what the Chair of the Judiciary Committee is saying. He didn't bring any witnesses in, so I never did quite understand that. But with regard to the confidentiality sections, what we have here is a statute that says legislative audit gets the information, and that section we're going to leave in, that's 270. But legislative audit can't release any of that information if it relates to a private bank or a private business, and that part we're repealing. That doesn't make any sense at all. We're giving legislative audit the authority to get the information, and we're going to tell them that you can release it, because we're repealing the provision that says you can't release it. That doesn't make sense. Let me make my final comment as to the amendment. These are two substantive provisions of the law with regard to CFAB. There have been no witnesses. People have stood up here and said, fishermen have come down here complaining about CFAB. We've had people stand up here and saying, why I got a loan, my constituent got a loan, didn't get a loan, but somebody else did. We're talking about the powers of legislative audit. We're talking about whether or not this is part of the policy goals behind CFAB. Mr. Speaker, none of those people have testified. We had a 10-minute committee meeting. No witnesses were called. We heard none of those disputes. We did not hear from legislative audit with regard to any problems it may have had. We did not hear from CFAB with regard to the impact that this repealer might have. Mr. Speaker, if for no other reason than inadequate consideration, we should not repeal these confidentiality provisions. Let's go at this carefully. We spent several days on it 4 years ago. Let's spend some more time on it. Let's be a little more careful. And until we're more careful, and until we hear some witnesses on this, rather than second and third hand comments, I suggest that we not repeal the confidentiality provisions in Section 2.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we are not repealing confidentiality sections as they apply to legislative budget audit. They're contained in another section of the statute. There's a broad body of law that pertains to actions of legislative budget and audit. The former speaker knows only too well that law exists. The scenario that they would have to take if these sections were repealed are reflected exactly like the 1981 audit shows. They'd have to remain and stay to those guidelines. It just makes good sense that these two sections are repealed and we don't tie the hands of the legislative auditor when we ask him to look at this sod and cod bank. And it makes good sense that we repeal something that those people that are in sod and cod bank right now are using to tell anybody that comes near them that they don't have to release that information even to the auditors. How can they possibly perform an audit on that organization with these two sections in there? I'd urge we defeat the amendment. And I'd like to make, at least in my mind, a comment about the interest rate that's been talked about here. The interest rate I think everybody's talking about is the interest rate on the 30-plus million dollars of state money that now exists or now is in the CFAB bank. The interest rate to the state on that money is zero, Mr. Speaker. It's nothing, nada, zero. The state receives nothing for that. And I would like to hear the former speaker's remarks if he thought that there were a loan from Alaska's permanent fund that carried that kind of an agreement. He'd be squalling like a mashed cat, Mr. Speaker. The speaker behind me, the representative behind me from Kenai would be screaming that there was a raid on the permanent fund. Mr. Speaker, there's been a raid on the general fund. It's been made.
State your point.
I realize we've gone astray, but if we could come back to the amendment and not discuss generally CFAB and its problems.
Mr. Speaker, I am speaking to the amendment. That's the need to defeat this amendment. We have to know what's going on. As long as these two sections are in the statute, we will never know what's going on. I had urged the body to vote against the amendment before us and call for the question.
On the amendment, Representative Ward.
Thank you. I need to explain why I'm going to vote against this amendment. Special Committee on Loans last year, at my request, the chairman did bring these people before us, and we ended up at a shrimp cocktail thing with slides and stuff, and they showed us quite a mechanism on how they were going to pay back $30 million with various forms of stocks and various forms of other stocks, and I kind of, in my regular attitude, I want to the person downtown, I cut through a little bit of the slideshow, and I said, well, how much interest are you going to pay us on this $30 million? And they said, well, we're not going to pay you no interest, but we're gonna maybe give you some stocks down the road here, and we would just like to be forgiven. And I that's why I think we really do need to find out what they're doing. You know, when you deposit $30 million in a bank, if I understand how it works, and I'm not sure, but I think that you have an asset of a bank, and I think that you can then loan a $30 million additional, and I would be very curious as to when that trade out comes, if I understand how banks work. But anyway, so I think that this, we need to defeat this amendment because nobody knows where this money went, and the people that are talking 14 and 10 and all this stuff, that's just for Alaskans maybe. Maybe the people from Seattle get a percentage rate.
Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I haven't decided how I'm going to vote on the amendment yet, and I have a question for either the Judiciary Chairman or the Budget and Audit Committee Chairman. Am I to understand that the individual loans in the loan portfolio are not open to federal or state auditors?
Representative Bustle.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the answer to her question is yes. They're not open. The Sod and Cod Bank has an independent outside auditor called Price Waterhouse that produces yearly what's called an annual report. And this is the sum total of the report of the activities of that bank that's made public. The association of the co-op to the National Association of Co-ops is, in fact, in Spokane. And that's the, I think they call that the Spokane Co-op, SCO or something. That's what those initials stand for, is the Spokane Co-op Bank. And the offices, the outside offices for this organization are in Seattle, Washington. The association is in the Federal Co-op Organization Bank at Spokane.
Question. Representative Herman.
Mr. Speaker, I support this amendment. You know, I think we can get in, we can audit CFAB and look at some of their problems without getting, without penalizing fishermen and farmers by getting into their confidential personal business. And I think some of the problems or concerns that the Judiciary Chairman brought up was problems with the state loan program and not problems with CFAB. And I think that the Senate Bill 496 is addressing a lot of those problems or concerns with the state loan program.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, in response to the question from the member from the MATSU, 4481-200 provides, "The Board of Directors shall publish an annual report," period. "The report shall be made available to the public and shall include financial statements audited by independent outside auditors, a statement of the bank's investments, et cetera, et cetera," and a number of other items that are required in the annual report.
Representative Locker?
I would just like to state, Mr. Speaker, that I've never worked in a bank, but I know that it is common knowledge that federal and state auditors come into your bank and pull individual loans and go through them from beginning to end and make a determination on those loans. And that is what I have just been told we do not have with these loans. In that case, I can understand why there would be people wishing to make these confidential matters public. If you don't have auditors that normally audit loans in banks from beginning to end, not audit the books of the corporation, but actually pull individual loans and audit them and ensure that everything is in place, including, of course, the credit references and title insurance or whatever else there is to secure the loan for the corporation, then this may be going after a fly with an elephant gun, but you have to do something.
President Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, if that wasn't good enough, how about 4481-260-B3, which was proposed to be repealed? Quote, these are the exceptions to the confidentiality provision. The exception is, "Information concerning members may be given for the confidential use of a member of the Federal Farm Credit System or other financial institution in contemplation of the extension of credit or the collection of loans." That's precisely what you're talking about. They are subject to those kinds of reviews. They do have to provide the information to those people.
Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the amendment and related to the amendment, before I make a decision on voting on this particular amendment, going back to line 12 and 13, and this would be a question either to the chairman of the Budget and Audit Committee or the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, why are we taking out the section there, "to be audited in a manner and under the condition prescribed under 2420-271 for audits performed by the Legislative Audit Division"? Why wouldn't we follow the regular normal procedure of the Legislative Audit Division in making that normal audit review? Why are we setting up a new precedent here by taking that out? Maybe the chairman could.
Representative Bussell?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's a very good question, but we're not changing anything at all. The bill drafter said once you require the legislative auditor to do it, he's subject to those things anyway, and rather than just repetitively restate them, he is, in fact, subject to all the things contained in 2420-271. We're not changing anything.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, I think you could probably make a good case that that what the chairman of the judiciary just said is, in fact, not the case. I don't doubt for a moment that somebody over in drafting maybe told him that. But, Mr. Speaker, this is Section 24 we're dealing with right here. We're not dealing with Section 24. And if we take out reference to Section 24, some future budget and audit chairman could very well use this as the excuse to go in and say, no, this is under Section 44. We're going to do our investigation and our audit under my rules, whoever that person he or she may be at some future date. I think, Mr. Speaker, that very definitely we've got a problem in the fact that we are deleting the material that calls for audits under the accepted auditing procedures of the state. That has worried me too. But again, we're back on the confidentiality portion, Mr. Speaker. And I repeat once again, there's not a word been said on this floor to indicate that anybody except Alaskans — there's been intuitions, but there's been no authoritative word that anybody except Alaskans have ever gotten a loan from CFAB. And as a matter of fact, I've never thought to ask that question. But I would be willing to wager a small portion of my small fortune, which is very small indeed, that nobody but Alaskans have ever been given loans under the CFAB setup that we established. Therefore, bear in mind that if we are destroying the confidentiality of this process, we are destroying the confidentiality of Alaskans, our friends, our neighbors, our fishermen, our farmers who are trying to apply for a loan here. And I think that's a terrible thing to do.
President Kopanen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are a variety of financial institutions which are organized under a variety of laws, and they are supervised by the agencies which have chartered them and of which they are a member. credit unions, for instance, under the National Credit Union Act, and having been a board member and president of a credit union, it was not bank examiners that came around, but people from the National Credit Union Administration. Likewise, mutual banks are chartered separately from commercial banks, and their funds are examined in that way. CFAB is affiliation is with the National Cooperative Banking Network, which was chartered not too many years ago as an expansion of the credit union idea, where depositors and lenders are owners of the financial institution in which they participate. Its regional representative, the Spokane Bank for Cooperatives, which is just like operates in the same way that the Federal Reserve Bank operates for commercial banks. And its books are examined by examiners from the National Cooperative Bank Network and the Federal Farm Credit System. They are not secret in any particular way. They have to conform in order to be have their loans carried on by the regional cooperative bank for the other banks. I would think that if this this privilege of privacy were taken away from the cooperative bank, it would next be taken away from the credit unions, next be taken away from the mutual banks in this state, and probably left only with loan sharks, finally. I'm not entirely certain that it would be run to that extent before that people caught up with you. I think that this is absurd that we should go to this extent and have so much misinformation when the chairman of the Judiciary Committee gave us the 1981 audit, which contains much of the information that you've been arguing about, including recommendation number one, where they say our test included 8 loans for which CFAB had considered interest. In other words, the loans themselves were looked at. I think we have had more misinformation given us on the floor based on a document which absolutely contradicts what was said. I am very much for the amendment. I find the discussion absurd.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to abstain on this amendment and on the bill. There may be a conflict of interest.
I believe I heard an objection, Representative Davis.
Thank you.
You ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 721? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
17 yeas, 18 nays.
Amendment number 1 has failed to pass the House. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 721 be considered a gross advance to third reading, placed on final passage.
Is there objection? There is objection, Representative Clarkson. House, please stand at ease. Is the objection maintained to the motion to advance from second to third reading, Representative Clarkson? Further objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Bill 721 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank.
Is there debate, Representative Clarkson?
Very briefly, Mr. Speaker, I think we've had debate on third passage already on this legislation. I think when you consider the fact, first of all, that this bill has had no witnesses testify on it, it had 10 minutes of consideration by one committee, it was filed on the 128th or 129th day. You all understand the implications, I think, of Section 2. I think it's late in the session. It isn't such a crucial issue that it has to be fixed this year. We can go back and take a careful look and answer some of the questions that have been raised on the floor here. I think the legislation should be defeated. Maybe we can take a more careful look later.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I concur with the thoughts of the representative from downtown Anchorage. Additionally, I would recommend to the Judiciary Chairman that he request the Budget and Audit Committee to do an audit on CFAB.
Are you ready, Representative Phillips?
Speaker, I have a question to the Judiciary Chairman. It doesn't really deal with the bill directly, but it's more of a procedural thing. As you know, you and I have been here for quite a few years, and this issue's been around for a while, too. And I noticed, the first thing I noticed yesterday was the date of the bill, 514, because I tried to look it in my bill book, and it wasn't even in there yet. And I just want to ask the question, why, at this point in the session, was the bill introduced? Why wasn't it introduced in January or February? Has something come up that I'm not aware of, that he's aware of? Yesterday, I also tried to go through the computers last night on the bill itself in the Judiciary Committee, and it says the House Bill 721 Act relating to the CFAB Bank, and it says end of documents, enter another command, and there was apparently the meeting must have been yesterday, and I read in the journal this morning that it was passed out. The thing I'm asking is the timing of this bill. Why now? I mean, it's been around for a while, and I know I've read something in the papers last week about some concerns with CFAB, and that's basically the question I have for the chairman.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to answer that. I haven't been around for a while, and my interest was kindled in this bill last year, quite frankly, by the invitation I got from the CFAB people to learn more about the bank and to come up to Senator Catula's farm where they were going to cook a cow. And I wrote them a letter and asked them, you know, why we were going to have it at the good senator's farm when there were so many public places nearby, and I'd like to certainly like to learn more about the bank as a new legislator. And they replied that they had always held it there, that Senator Catula was a big benefactor of the bank, and that's where they were going to continue to hold it, whether I liked it or not. And that's a matter of record. I have the letters down there. So I determined after I answered his letter that I'd like to know more about the bank, and I kind of forgot about the issue till just lately. That's my fault that it got dragged on. I certainly didn't mean to wait until the last days of the session to introduce it. I was remiss in not getting it done right away. And I know that there's another thing you're wondering about. You're probably wondering why the representative from downtown Anchorage, who's a member of the committee, hasn't objected or raised some issue that this was introduced without his knowledge and nobody asked him. And we did ask him, or we didn't ask him, we showed him the document days before we actually introduced it, so that's why that remark wasn't there, so you don't have to wonder about that. I hope that answers all your questions.
Representative Clarkson?
I guess it's not related to the bill. He informed me less than 24 hours before the bill was filed that it was going to be filed. That's the first time he's done that in 2 years, Mr. Speaker, and I certainly appreciate it. Doesn't go much to the conversation about the merits of the bill, though.
Representative Phillips?
Just one more question, Mr. Speaker, and that the Judiciary Chairman, prior to the going from second to third reading, had mentioned that he had a constituent. Was that constituent the spark for this bill, or were there other people involved that brought it out to your attention that initiated the bill itself?
Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the members that are not on the Special Committee on Loans, they know that I would like to inform the body that I have been requesting a bank audit of this particular organization for the 2 years that I've been down here for the people that are not members of the Special Committee on Loans. I have attended the functions of this particular organization. I've read as many annual reports or supposed reports from them as I can. I went through your, Mr. Speaker's, files to prepare legislation that you had prepared 3 years ago to try to get our $30 million back or some kind of a payment plan. But just so that, and I, the reason I'm speaking in this manner, and I'm speaking in favor of the bill, I would like to think that I maybe was a part of that spark, but for the members that were not a member of the Special Committee on Loans, they would not know that I have been continuously, whenever possible, whenever a commissioner appeared, or whenever anybody remotely appeared that could have an interest or some kind of a connection with Seattle First National or with CFAB or anything like that, the Committee on Loans, Commerce and Economic Development, I would request this information. I would request the agreement that has been entered into that says the loan does not have to be paid back without interest until 17 years from now. That agreement, nobody on this floor has.
And I would like to see everything concerned with any kind of an agreement like that. I think that's really interesting. And as a member of the Special Committee on Loans and a member of Finance, I think that it's my responsibility, and it has been my responsibility, and I have only done this at the Special Committee on Loans and Finance, which are the only the two committees that I've raised this concern about whenever I had the opportunity, because I too, from following past legislation, I had a concern of what happened to the money, who got it, you know, and why is it done this way, why was it ever done this way, and I really do have concerns, and I think that the people that were here before me and the people that here be after me for another 17 years, they're going to have the very same concerns, and we ought to have it answered, and this is a way to do it.
President Bushell.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, thank you. So that the senior member from Eagle River doesn't go unanswered, he is right. I only gave part of the answer. The last year stuff, I did intend to do it early in the session, as I said, and I forgot about it. And part of the thing that brought it back to my attention was a constituent's problem. If I didn't say it before, I don't remember if I did or not. The minority said anybody can become a member of this thing. He had a little bit of problem getting his $100 purchase. The way that works is that, you know, you have to buy a share of Class A stock. So whether you get a loan or not, he's wrong about that. It has nothing to do with it. You must purchase that one share at least of Class A stock before you can even submit a loan application. And then your loan application is submitted, and 10% of the loan must be used to buy, as you know, 10% of the value of the loan must be used to buy the Class C stock. It's generally made, or it always is, I guess. I don't know. I'm not able to have an audit to be able to tell. But so far as I know, they loan you the money that you use to buy the Class C stock, too. So you, in fact, use our free, or at least a portion of our free state dollars to buy the Class C stock to make you a loan. So you have to remember the organization to loan yourself money. That's basically the way it works. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question. President Miller.
I just want to repeat once again, anybody that wants a loan and qualifies for a loan gets to be a member. You may have to go through the technicality of buying one share of Class A stock or not. I'm not sure about that. It doesn't even really matter. The point is, anybody that qualifies for a loan can get a loan, and it's just as simple as that. There's nothing mysterious about it. Nobody is closed out because they're not a member, because anybody can become a member. It's, you know, that's just the way it is. The Federal Farm Credit Act and this whole business started during the 30s, during the Depression days, when the Federal Congress did essentially what we did. That is, they loaned a whole bunch of money to the federal farmland banks all across the United States. If my memory serves, there's 12 or maybe 16 of them located in various states of the Union and in regions of the Union. And eventually, the Federal Farm Credit Act banks paid back their loans, which were low interest or no interest loans, I'm not sure which, exactly the same way our CFAB will pay back its loan. But in the meantime, and I think maybe it's correct that there is no interest being charged, because for the simple reason that if we charged interest, that would be just that much more money that we would not be available to leverage additional dollars from the vast national resources of the Federal Farm Credit Administration all over the United States. And by leveraging huge amounts of money for a relatively small, although $30 million is never tiny, but we leverage many, many, many times more dollars out of that loan than we would get if we were, you know, charging interest. If we were charging interest, we would simply just have to pass those additional costs on to the Alaskan farmers and the Alaska fishermen who are borrowing the money. Mr. Speaker, this is bad legislation, and again, I raise the same point that was raised by the chairman of the Special Committee on Loans. He was exactly right to raise that point. As the law now stands, the legislative auditor may cause, anytime he or she wants to, at the direction of any member on this floor or the chamber down the hall, may cause the bank to be audited in the manner and under conditions prescribed under 24, which means, as a matter of fact, that if the auditor wants to, they can even sublet that auditing contract out under the terms of an audit that would be done by our staff. Now, by deleting that language, we're requiring that each and every year the Alaska State Legislative Auditor
has to do that. He can't even sub it out. We've taken away all the authority for him to sub it out. I guess we're going to send somebody down to Spokane for, a portion of each year to have them audited, because they couldn't even contract with the CPA down there to do it under our rules. This is bad legislation, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Bettesworth?
Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to prolong the debate any longer. The Budget and Audit Committee has documentation to answer. Most of the questions have been asked on this floor today, and I shall provide that to those members who are interested. The only string that the legislature has left connecting us to CFAB is this repayment agreement, of which I have a copy and will provide to the members, which does not trigger until 17 years from now. It is a repayment of $32 million at zero interest, beginning in 17 years. Now, with inflation rate running at somewhere between 8 and 10% a year, you can figure out what that money is going to be worth in 17 years. Oh, I have all this documentation. I'll make it available.
Representative Herman?
Mr. Speaker, I have a question to the Judiciary Chair, and it relates somewhat to the bill. It's the problem with his constituent. From what I understand, his constituent went to the state and to get a loan, and then the state says you have to have interim financing, so he went to CFAB and got interim financing, and then when he did that, then the state said, well, you qualify for CFAB, so now you can't come back to the state. At, you know, CFAB's 14%, the state's 9.5%. And if that's the case, then it seems like it's a state problem and not a problem with CFAB. Is that correct?
Representative Bussell?
Well, I'm not sure that that this has anything to do with the bill. The chairman of the Special Committee on Fisheries, or at least some of her staff, is somewhat familiar with the case in point here, and it's not quite exactly like you described it there. There are some of the scenarios involved that I relayed earlier. In this case, the state loan board did, you know, okay another one of these verbal arrangements with the loan, and it proceeded along the time until politics got involved. And at that particular time, they decided that the CFAB interim loan was going to become permanent. Mal is somewhat aware of what's going on here. I think it's beyond our reach until we have some sort of an audit of things like this and can find out what's going on inside the bank. I do think, in opposition to the minority leader, this is perfectly good legislation. It's something the legislature needs. And if I can once again, Mr. Speaker, make the point about the legislation that's important to me and should be important to every member of the legislature. There are a number of loan programs involved with agriculture. God knows there are a bunch, and we're considering a bunch more. And there are a number of loan programs involved with the fishing industry, everything from gear to boats to fuel to even the permits they use. There's a bunch of them. Maybe, just maybe, CFAB is doing such a good job that we ought to cancel all those programs. And maybe, as the minority leader says, we ought to leverage that money until we can count the numbers. And maybe we ought to get 100% behind the Sod and Cod Bank. Maybe. I don't know that. There isn't any member on this floor that knows what they're doing. Have absolutely no idea what they're doing. But it just may be, if we could find out what's going on behind those doors or behind those veils, maybe we want to introduce legislation next year to do away with the Sod and Cod Bank, to interrupt that agreement they've got with the Department of Treasury and bring our money home and put it into permanent fund, a fund that he's so fond of advocating that we stick everything into. Maybe we ought to take that $35 million and stick it in there. I don't know. I know that the raid on the Treasury that those guys have been part of and managed to carry off is a raid that we can't allow to continue. We need to know what's going on there and then be able to make an intelligent decision. Right now, we're making a blind decision. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not often I get to agree with the senior member from Fairbanks, but we've made this allocation of capital of money to the CFAB Bank, and I can't see how this bill is going to give any hammer that we don't already have. The way this bill has been introduced and the debate on this floor certainly puts a cloud on why this bill was introduced in the last hour and why it's being pushed through, and for that reason, I'm not going to support the legislation, but I share the concern of the downtown Bethel legislator, and I'd like to request Budget and Audit to take a look at this, or if they do have that information, to provide that for me. Thank you.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose this legislation, as I made clear earlier. But I find it interesting that roles perhaps have been reversed. At least I find it rather interesting that I have found myself in the past nearly 2 years down here in a position of defending existing programs and institutions. In other words, playing an essentially conservative role, trying to preserve what we have achieved, rather than trying to change things violently or non-violently or legally. And I think that is very necessary, because if we have built something, have tried to develop some things, we should try to make them work. And in fact, to quote the speaker, representative from Spinard, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if it's broke, find out why first.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 721 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
22 yeas, 13 nays.
House Bill 721 has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? Representative Clarkson.
My vote on House Bill 721.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Clarkson for his vote on House Bill 721. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill 397 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act extending the termination date of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had the bill under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 397 Judiciary with the same title, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Liska, Barnes, Hayes, and Bussell. Having no recommendation, Malone and Clarkson. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 397 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Judiciary Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 397 Judiciary be considered engrossed. Passed to third reading, placed on final pass.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 397 Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee. An act extending the termination date of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board and providing for an effective date.
Is there a debate?
Question.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 397 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
35 yeas, no nays.
The House Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 397 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the roll call vote on passage of the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 397 Judiciary be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we revert to introduction of guests. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, my wife Yvonne is here, and then her chaperone for this week, keeping an eye on her while we're busy here in session, make sure she doesn't get any trouble, as a friend and constituent from Kodiak, Bernice Devlin.
Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on our introduction to guests.
You have the floor.
Thank you. I have a good friend of mine by the name of Bill Waiton, Gallery A, who's traveled down to Juneau, spent some time last week visiting and seeing how the legislature works. I'd like you to welcome him.
Representative Miller.
Unless there are another introductions, I'd like to ask for a brief at ease.
Will the House please stand at ease?
Mr. Speaker.
Unless there is objection, I'm going to ask the clerk to read all the citations appearing on today's calendar and ask the majority leader to move them as one item of business. Representative Kulpinen?
Under introduction of guests.
Without objection, we'll return to introduction of guests.
I'd like to introduce William Gallagher and Gallery B from college, a fisherman from my district.
Will the clerk please read the citations? Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, if I heard as I was coming in, you asked that they all be taken up at once, and then there was a request to move to a different place on the calendar. I would like to object to having them all brought up at once if you had not ruled on that question.
It's not any problem. We'll just bring them all up at one time. Representative Barnes, did you wish the floor?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I wish to, while it's still on my mind, move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 721 be held over until Tuesday's calendar.
You mean the reconsideration?
The reconsiderations.
Is there objection? Hearing none. The reconsideration of House Bill 721 will be held over until Tuesday, not for Tuesday's calendar, but
Excuse
until
me,
Tuesday.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lindauer?
Mr. Speaker, if we're under unfinished business, I'd like to...
We're not under unfinished business. We're still on the calendar, under citations.
I would like to also move that my reconsideration of 514, which is an act relating to married persons' rights in a family home, be carried over to Monday's calendar.
And until Monday's calendar, or the reconsideration
the
be
reconsideration
held?
Reconsideration be held over until Monday, I'm sorry.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the reconsideration requested by House Bill 514?
Senate
Bill 514 will be held over until Monday. Representative Clarkson?
If I may, Mr. Speaker, I wasn't aware we were going to do it that way. You're now receiving on your desk a copy of an amendment with some additional material on that bill. Since it's been held over, I'd appreciate it if the members kept that material on your desk for Monday.
Thank you. That's for, that's for Senate Bill 514?
514,
yes. Yes. Members would please retain that on their desk until Monday. Will the clerk please read the first citation appearing on today's calendar?
Citation honoring the Anchorage Times and staff by Representatives Hayes, Barnes, Furness, Ward, Phillips, Liska, Zemanski, Abood, Bussell, and Tischer.
Representative Clarkson?
Mr. Speaker, normally we don't debate these, and I'm not going to debate it. I would ask, the first line in the second paragraph of this indicates the Anchorage Times has long been Alaska's premier newspaper, not one of the premier newspapers, but the premier newspaper. And I just have a question about the accuracy of that, considering that the other daily Anchorage paper has larger circulation weekends and weekdays, and considering that it won more awards in this same awards competition, I'm wondering what is the criterion for determining what is Alaska's premier newspaper?
State your point, Representative Abood.
I'd like to leave for the chair. Is this citation debatable?
Yes. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Certainly, I would not have expected another Anchorage representative to have raised these questions, but the Anchorage Times, having lived there, and should know that although this year, I believe, the Anchorage Daily News is beginning a wider circulation, in the past, the news has been a floundering newspaper and did not enjoy wide circulation, so certainly the language set out in this citation is correct.
Representative Clarkson?
Then I gather the from the explanation from the majority leader, the word premier means oldest. Is that correct?
Representative Ward?
I think premier means premier. And I'm sure that the gentleman from downtown knows exactly what it means.
Representative Clarkson, did you wish the floor? Representative Cowdery?
Yes, I'd like to add my name as co-sponsor.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, I really hate for this floor to get into the debate as to which is Alaska's or Anchorage's premier newspaper. I don't think that's an appropriate item for debate on this floor. I don't think we ought to be naming one commercial enterprise as essentially better than another commercial enterprise. I wonder, Mr. Speaker, if I could inquire, would it be considered a friendly amendment if we had said has long been one of Alaska's premier newspapers, recognizing also that the Fairbanks News Miner has an outstanding history that predates every other existing newspaper in the state, except, I believe, the Nome Nugget, recognizing that there are other premier newspapers in other cities in this state. And I just think that would be a better judgment for us to make rather than for us to arbitrarily say this is the essentially best newspaper in the state. And I think that creates a discussion we don't need to get into. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, when this is just a little bit off of this citation, but I'd like a little latitude, if I may, please. When I first came to this legislature 6 years ago, I recall very vividly there was a citation on this floor that was put by a minority member, as I recall. One of my Anchorage colleagues said to me, Ramona, citations are a matter of courtesy and something that one should not debate against on the floor. Nor should they vote against as a matter of courtesy, since they are simply that. And the gentleman that was being cited at the time, I disagreed with him on everything imaginable. But I did, in fact, go ahead, as my learned colleague told me, and vote for it. And I have maintained that position to this day. And although this resolution's prime sponsor is the Speaker of the House, I am the co-sponsor of it, and I consider it offensive that there are wishes to be amended at this time.
Representative Lindauer.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have my name added as co-sponsor, please.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'm a co-sponsor of the citation, but I do disagree with the majority leader's opinion about citations. You remember about, can you, Mr. Speaker, would you leave me, allow me a little latitude to respond, first of all?
Yeah, before.
If you remember about 4 or 5 years ago, we did have a citation here for Bobby Sands' mother, and I really objected to that. And I don't believe that we should shut up and just let it go by.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just checked in the dictionary on Premier, and it's it says first in importance or rank, and perhaps we could change that word to Premier to say heaviest, and then there would be no debate.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's probably a drafting mistake. It should be primer.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With that definition in mind, it's perfectly proper then, because if you don't want to sponsor it, you don't have to sponsor it. And I think that's really the bottom line here. If you don't want to put your name on the thing, don't put it on the thing. I don't know that anybody's made any kind of a motion to make it all other matters or all other members of the House. And citations are generally laudatory in nature, but I don't know that there's any citation that's gone here that I've necessarily 100% agreed with. I may have written them different. They might have said the same thing. And I think there's 1,000 ways you can write this one different, and it'll say the same thing. The minority leader talks about the Nome Nugget. As far as I know, the Nome, we might want to put the word daily in here to comply with the minority leader's wishes. I think the Nome Nugget lays claim to being the only newspaper and only daily newspaper in the state that's delivered 3 times a week, something like that. We may want to, you know, we could go on and on and on. They are laudatory in nature. They are something that's generally cherished by the people who sponsor them or the person who receives them only. I don't know that any of them are used to be advertised with or about, or at least I've not heard of them if they are. And I tend to, for the majority of my opinion anyway, concur with the majority leader that we ought to approve these and get about our business. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, let me make clear that I have the greatest respect for the reporting in the Anchorage Times. I think it's excellent. I think that it's the rewards that it received are legitimate. I intend, for example, to vote for this citation, so I don't know the concern of the majority leader. The question of what the phrase premier newspaper means has come up. I think it is a legitimate question. I heard the majority leader to mean premier, to say that premier meant used to be the best paper in the state. I may have misunderstood that, but it seems to me there's two ways you can read it. The dictionary I have says premier means, let's see, first, chief, or principal, or most ancient. So the question is whether it's the oldest or most ancient
or the best. Mr. Speaker, I would have no objection to changing the words has long been to used to be, if we're going to define this as being the best. Or, Mr. Speaker, I have no objection being even a sponsor of the citation, as long as we understand that premier means oldest. But I don't know which meaning it is. I'm going to vote for it either way, because I think they have some great reporters there. But I think we do need to clarify, is it oldest, or did it used to be the best? I'm not sure.
Question. President Barnes?
Mr. Speaker, after having heard the definitions that has been read from my learned and distinguished colleague from downtown Anchorage, which this newspaper sits in the middle of his district, I would like to say to him that I agree with all of the definitions as read in the dictionary.
Question. Representative Furness?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have a dictionary. I paid $2.25 at Rexall for it. It's called Thomies, Webster's Dictionary. And on page, Mr. Speaker, well, they don't number the pages. But if I may be permitted to read the definition of premier, which I've lost already. Mr. Speaker, it says here, first, it's a noun, first of all. First performance, and I note in a bracket here, it has argument. I think that's what we're doing too much of at this point. I would call a question.
Representative Tischer?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I just had to ask for the floor because if we're talking about inaccurate language in citations, I have to admit that a couple of years ago, before I came to this body, I received a citation from this body and the other body jointly. And golly whiz, there was some very inaccurate information in there, or statements, one of which was that I had 5 children, and by golly, I've got 6, and a couple of other things, and I tried my darndest to get that changed because I was so proud of receiving it, and nobody wanted to take the time to change it. And here we spent 20 minutes debating on an issue that, as far as I'm concerned, is acceptable to the sponsors, and if it's acceptable to the sponsors, hey, I'm all for it.
President Duncan?
Mr. Speaker, is it possible to go back 2 years to rescind action on a citation?
Representative Toxin?
Mr. Speaker, by the way, I really agree with the prior member from Spinard and the majority leader, or I disagree with the majority leader. I think you really ought to vote your conscience on citations. I think the Bobby Sands one is a perfect example where we got ourselves in a crack and it was a mistake. So I think that while this conversation has been humorous, it's also healthy to really look.